motif.
For the listeners who have been listening to me since the beginning, I've pretty much been relying on personal talent from friendships around the area and whatnot. But today I actually have a very, very special guest for you guys, and it's one that could actually be of a huge benefit if you're in relationships. Today, I am delighted to introduce to you Detective Gomez from the hit series Cheaters, and now currently Beyond Cheaters, the Detective Gomez Files, his own podcast.
Special guest star.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So, you have a very interesting past as far as your career is concerned. You first began in law enforcement, didn't you, Detective Gomez?
Yes. Back when I was about 19 years old.
Sweet. And can you tell us a little bit more about that?
In the state of Texas, you have to be certified as a, what they call a peace officer. So I became a certified peace officer when I was about 19 years old, and then joined the police department after that, the Dallas Police Department, and worked there for about 10 years. And then I was approached by back in 1998, approached by a producer here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area named Mr. Goldstein, who was considering putting a TV show together, but needed someone to head up the investigation part. So at that time, I had a small little ad in D Magazine, a local magazine here. I think I got the cheapest ad they had at that time.
Wow.
Because the magazine was kind of pricey to put in. But a small ad, and he called me from an airplane once and called him back. It was, I'd like to talk to you about what I'm trying to do, and I need someone to, you have to have a license as a private investigator. So he asked me to, I would be in charge of just the investigation part, not the producing part, but the investigation part. And I went from there, and then, kept it going, and just conducted the investigation for the TV show and kept developing cases and catching people cheating and all kinds of funny stuff.
Okay, so it seems like as far as like initially being a detective for law enforcement, you specifically want to target infidelities. Am I following you correctly with that?
Well, I after law enforcement, I just, after you've done criminal stuff for a while, I wanted to do something different. So that's why I was mostly focusing on either infidelity cases or divorce cases or child custody cases or something of those along those lines. But the and then I was approached by Mr. Goldstein. So I said, that's fine. We'll do that. I had no problem. His TV show in that time was based on just catching infidelity, people that were married and cheating. And so that was kind of his direction. And so I still worked for myself as a private detective, but then I was also contracted out as being the detective for the TV show Cheaters.
Oh, okay. And in law enforcement, are there specific like categories of detective work? Like, is infidelity already like a legal category for detective work?
Yeah. Not in law enforcement. It's not. I mean, law enforcement is criminal. Criminal is more people breaking the law. Infidelity is kind of like a breaking the law of the heart. It's a little different.
Okay. More of a personal case then.
Right.
Okay. And so in your experience, having been around cheaters like for all these years, I mean, do you notice, is there like a pattern? Why do people cheat?
Why do people, I think people just cheat. There's a couple of different reasons why they do. I mean, some people are just, they've seen it through their parents, so they grew up with it, and they think it's okay. Some people see it through social media. They consider now, flirting is really not cheating. Some people do it because they're just bored at home. So if you're going to, always kind of remind people that if you're going to get in a relationship or get serious with somebody, you've got to take care of everything around you so that your spouse or the one you love decides to change their behavior patterns, you can catch on to it quickly. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, definitely. I also did a little bit of reading on your background, and it says that you have some experience. Well, you have an academic background in psychology.
Yes.
And something that I'm really big on, and like, I know the listeners are hyper aware of this, but I have like a fascination with cluster B personality disorders. Did you learn much of that in your program?
A little bit, but you know, that and narcissism, and those are words that come up from a psychological point of view.
Right.
But there's also the way I always tell people, I said, look, you can define cheating any way you want. Okay. Anyway, you want to call a guy a narcissist, you can call him a narcissist. You want to say he's got a cluster B personality, you can say he has that. But at the end of the day, he's just cheating on you. And that's just the bottom line. I mean, you can call him anything you want. But some guys and women are that. You know, some of them have these personality disorders that make them do these things. But these are kind of like new words that come up. You know, these words weren't used back in the early 80s and 90s. These are words used in the late 90s and 2000s now. So it's just a different way of defining or giving someone a reason why they do it. I mean, you even hear some of the, I've heard of some of the celebrities now that sometimes go to counseling for sex addiction. You know, back in the 80s and early 90s, there wasn't anything for sex addiction. This guy was just cheating. So as a private investigator, I don't look at, so the guys, he did it because he's a narcissist, or she did it because she has a cluster B personality. To be honest with you, I don't give a damn. My job is just to get the facts, get the evidence, and prove that he's lying to you at the end of the day.
So speaking of like, you know, all shades of crazy, aside from the cheater or like the suspect or whatever being potentially crazy in themselves in their own way.
Right.
Do you ever find that some clients, or maybe just people that you've dealt with like on cheaters that have suspected things being a little bit more on the hyper vigilant side to where maybe they're just a little paranoid themselves?
There are some that are very paranoid, and I get that question a lot. You know, they ask me, Detective Gomez, you know, I need to find out if I'm crazy or not. And I said, well, I'm not licensed to tell you that, but I'll be honest with you, and I'll find out whether I can help you find out if you're crazy or not. But, you know, that's kind of the main something like this will drive you crazy inside. It will. And I've been a victim myself.
Yeah.
I've been cheated on.
Super painful stuff.
Yeah, so I can relate to my clients when they say, you know, Detective Gomez, I can't sleep at night. I've lost my appetite. It's hard for me to focus at work. And I go, and they go, yes, that's exactly what I went through. I know exactly what you went through. And let me tell you how to handle this. And I try to walk them through the steps that I need, you know, for them to help me through their investigation. Because I can go do my job. But if you think someone's cheating on you, and if you can't control yourself at home, it makes me very difficult for me to do my job outside of your home. And for example, like putting on your poker face while I conduct the investigation. Does that make sense?
Right. Because anything else would pretty much interfere with your investigation, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, if someone's cheating on you, or you feel someone's cheating on you, and they come home, and you know they're out messing around, but you look like your dog just died, I mean, they're going to know that, okay, I've got to be careful, you know? So, you know, at the end of the day, we want to try to, my job as an investigator is try to get you evidence based on what you feel is happening in your relationship. But you've got to do your part at home too.
In regards to the services that you provide, I've read that like you tailor your services to what the client would need. So in that sense, because of this flexibility, are you flexible with like the cases you take on, like being outside of Texas? Or, I mean, are there ever international cases?
I haven't had any international cases yet, but I have had cases where people have hired me out of state. And I've flown out of state to go work on a case.
Are there any kind of questions that you ask in a preliminary sense, you know, like before you get into like the nitty gritty of it? Are there any like super basic questions you'd be able to share?
I usually explain to people that when they feel someone's cheating on them, I try to define two things. One of two things usually are happening when somebody cheats. They have to spend money on somebody or they have to spend time with somebody, okay? Mm-hmm. And one of those two things have to happen. Now, if you want to just say sexting, which is a new word now also, they're just texting somebody and sending dirty pictures to each other and you find them, okay, you can make a decision what you want to do with your life then. But if you want to get evidence that they're actually seeing somebody, they got to spend time with the other person. The other person's requiring their time too.
Right.
And so my job, if I go out of town, I've got to try to narrow the timeline down. So when I get down there, I'm not there to waste time. I'm there to get evidence as quick as possible and get the job done and come home.
Considering that this is your profession, you've done this for, I think, what was it, like over 2 decades now, about 2 decades?
Yeah, 20 years.
Yeah, so exactly 2 decades. Being that you're around deceit, paranoia, betrayal, does this kind of change your perspective on humanity? Do you look at people or life even differently?
I look at everybody as just, and I hate to be like this, like face value. You know, inside, you're a completely different person than you are outside. I don't care who you are, whether you're black, white, Chinese, Hispanic, doesn't matter. And you can't just take someone for face value, you know. And lots of times people do that. They meet some good-looking guy on the internet. Say, oh, this is the guy I want to be with. They meet some beautiful girl. I've had clients before sending money to women in Africa, and never met them. I had a guy send a woman $35,000 to a woman in Africa and never met her. Like, what are you doing?
Wow.
Because, well, she says she loves me. It's my girlfriend. I said, I don't know if you're pleasing yourself with these photos or what, man, but you gotta quit sending this girl money. She doesn't exist.
Wow. Dude.
But you never know who it is, but this guy was sending this girl money because they wanted attention. He wanted to be loved. And the guy was a nice guy, but I was like, man, don't do this anymore.
I mean, that's kind of one of the oldest tricks in the book. I mean, like, do you remember getting those like spam emails from like a Nigerian prince or something like that?
Yeah. And this girl was blonde headed and blue eyes. And I'm going, I said, I don't think this is a real person.
Jeez. And so that was one of your cases?
Yeah. Because I ended up tracing the bank account to a South African bank account, and we were able to discover that, said, I don't think, and the name that she gave him, I did some research on the name, and the name didn't come up anywhere here in the United States. So I tried to explain to him, I said, this person is not a person here in the U.S., and you may want to consider saving your money.
Okay, so that's another aspect to this job, too, is how do you deal with, like, the reactions that you get from people? I mean, my mother, for example, she used to work in a really high trauma emergency ward. And she would, you know, and this is like the early 90s when gang activity was at some of its highest. And she would say that on the first few weeks or months of the job, it was almost unbearable having to tell parents that their child was dead. I mean, and this, in a similar way, is it ever hard to give people the bad news?
Oh, yeah, it's very hard. I mean, sometimes I deliver the bad news in a car. Sometimes I deliver it in an office. And you know, the hardest part is when I have to tell my client, look, I need to meet with you today to show you something. And they go, what are you going to show me? I don't tell them over the phone. I try to show them in person, face to face, because if I tell them over the phone, they usually tend to start confronting the other partner. And and I don't know if they're going to use me again for more investigation. So I try to show them in person and say, look, here's what I got. Prepare yourself. But I've had people just, you know, break down and start crying in my car, in my office. I mean, it happens, and I feel sorry for them. But at the end of the day, it's what you paid me for.
Yeah, it is your job, you know. Were there ever any cases that ended up being pretty, especially grim or somewhat dangerous?
I had one on cheaters once where I had a lady, a Hispanic woman, who was texting another man, and the son had seen it. And he saw a penis on his mom's phone and asked her who that was. And she says, none of his business. And we ended up confronting his mom at a hotel with the father and the two sons. And it was very hard for me to watch a son call his mom a hoe on television. And he was really so upset that he took his fist and smashed the front windshield of her car and broke it. With his fist.
Wow.
And I just like, it was very hard for me to see that because I felt his pain because he didn't really believe it, but he didn't want to believe that his mom was messing around. And when we ended up catching her, you know, she denied his dad, their dad, and, oh, I'm divorced already, and And just some things like that. It was just really hard for me to see all that.
Right. And, you know, even though I am a fan of, like, you know, the darker side of life. I mean, not a fan, but I'm very fascinated with the darker side of life. But I know that with every job, no matter what it is, there must be some lightness to it, too. I mean, have there ever been any funny situations or situations that were just completely bizarre, X-Files type stuff?
Yeah. I had a really, really funny case when I went out to Tampa. One of the cases I went out of state, out of Texas for, where my client had put me into a hotel. And she goes, I want you to stay here because my husband sometimes takes his woman up here, I believe. And, you know, Tampa's kind of known for their retirement homes and things like that. And so when I got to the hotel, she didn't tell me it was a nudist resort. And I had to kind of walk around semi-naked to
fit in
my investigation.
Really? That's actually pretty damn funny.
It was kind of hard to put my camera somewhere if you know what I'm talking about. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it was challenging because I'd never been to one before, and it was kind of hard. When I first got there, I had to check my vision because I saw an older man, probably his 70s, you know, riding a bicycle, and I could all see was the crack of his ass riding away from me, and I go, where am I again? You know, but she didn't tell me it was a nudist resort. And then I saw another guy jogging and he has a little ding dong and some kind of fishnet thing running back and forth. And I go, wait a minute.
You know what? The fact that it's Florida doesn't surprise me coming from Florida though.
Yeah.
And Florida has a reputation for that kind of thing.
Right. And they're all retirees, you know, and I headed out to the jacuzzi once and there was like 15 of them in there in a jacuzzi together. And they go, come on, join in. I was like, nah, I'm going to pass. It's all right. Wow. So, yeah, so, you know, seeing something like that. But it was kind of funny because I was like, she didn't tell me it was a nudist resort. But I guess I should have done some research on the establishment when she gave me. She was, oh, yeah, it's this hotel called, I'm not going to mention the name, but she told me the resort. And I should have checked it out before I got there. I said, oh, yeah, I'm just going to fly in, hit straight over there, checked in. And all the people at the check-in had their clothes on.
Here's something that's kind of a double-tiered question for you. You started this 2 decades ago, and you had technology available to you then, but it's changed drastically up until this point. How has that affected your ability to become a detective in 2019, approaching 2020? Like, what are the advantages and disadvantages that you have?
Some of the disadvantages have been the cell phones. Earlier in the late 90s, you had more access to the telephones. I mean, I could have devices, you know, because a lot of people now, they want to know what's on the phone. The cell phones are a big challenge sometimes because there's only so much you can do with the phone unless the person actually gets the phone. Now, in the late 90s, that could hook up a device to your home phone and record, you know, screw off the earpiece and put a little device in there, and you can listen to what your husband or wife said all day long. Now, everybody's on a cell phone, and it's attached to them. So it makes it harder for me to do things like that, but a lot of people watch a lot of TV, and they're like, I saw this on CSI Miami, can you do this? And I'm gonna go, no, you can't, that's television, you know? And there's only certain things you can do. Or I have a lot of Hispanic clients that watch these, what they call novellas. Like, And they think, well, can't you just get in there and open up the door and go in there with the key? And I was like, no.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the thing is, there's a lot of laws in the way of all that stuff, you know? And also, like, intellectual property, or, like, just, like, technological. You can't just necessarily hack into someone's social media unless you know. I mean, there's laws about that, too, isn't there? Like, privacy laws?
Right. There's privacy
social media? In this day and age, like, if, you know, you're doing some investigation on your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, aside from this kind of stuff, what would you say is the skill set required to being a detective? Because I actually have some friends that still want to become private investigators.
Well, the most important thing is to get some kind of training. It's not easy, but lots of times you have to think quick on your feet. You know, you got to be able to make a decision fast. to get 10 seconds of video, which may be worth millions to somebody else.
Okay.
And it could be something as simple, and I'll give you an example. I was working at a restaurant once where the guy was on the inside of the restaurant eating with this woman, and they were sitting separate from each other on Valentine's Day. But I go, well, he's got to come out sooner or later, right? And I go, you know what? I've already got enough shots on the inside. Let me get outside, because I knew what he was driving, but I didn't know what the girl was driving. I said, but if they're together and there's anything romantically involved, I might be able to get them hugging and kissing on the way out. So I was thinking ahead. There's got to be an exit out of here somewhere. So I went out to the front of the restaurant, got a parking space. Lo and behold, they came walking out together. He grabs her, holds hands, gives her a kiss, and puts his arm around her and walks towards her car. Then he gets in there and sits for a little bit. Okay. So I got the 7-second shot of them walking. But I said, okay, I need to define who this girl is. So I pull out my car and then park into another space and got her license plate number. And then she pulled out and went and parked next to his car. But you see what I mean? All those little details, you got to think quick on. And you got to, you know,
yeah.
You got to, you know, the video's got to be clear. So I got a clear shot of her license plate number, so I could check that registration and find out who she was and be able to, those little things like that are all important, but you got to think quick on your feet when it's going down.
So you have to be resourceful and you have to be observant and strategic even, it seems like.
Yeah, because if you miss the shot, you know, sometimes your clients go, Detective Gomez, did you get her license? They'll say, well, you got him kissing, do you know who she is? Yeah, do you get a license plate number? Yes. I was like, okay, good. So you can find out where she lives at? Yes. So it's little things like that that you got to think about when you're out in the field, and you got to think fast.
Do you know if law enforcement, like a law enforcement background, is always required for that kind of thing, or is it just
no,
like a certification?
No, it's not. Law enforcement is not always required for that, no.
What would probably be sought after is maybe some sort of certification?
Yeah, you can get some sort of certification, but a lot of it is like on-the-job training, you know? But
okay.
Sometimes it's something as simple as turning on the camera and getting into focus. You know, I had a guy work for me one time that the little situation was going down, and he said he got nervous because he goes, I got nervous. I saw them walking out together, and I forgot to turn the camera on. He said he pushed the button, but he pushed it twice, so he turned it on and turned it back off. And I go, well,
okay.
That's we can't charge the client for that. So it's basically things like that you've got to be able to do when it's time for you to do your job, and you've got to get it. And luckily, I've been very good at it. I've been very good at getting results from my clients, and I've been able to help them through most of what they need. You know, every once I'm not perfect, of course, but overall, I think I do a pretty good job.
Your profession is all about fact finding and delivering those facts. But have you learned anything about relationships in general, or any kind of insights like that along the way?
Yeah, just definitely sleep with one eye open and one eye closed, you know? I mean, you can look at somebody one day, and the next day you'll be coming to me and saying, I don't even know him anymore. It's like a stranger to me. So
wow.
Always, you know, I know marriage is supposed to last forever, and I know relationships are a bunch of promises about the future. But I think at the end of the day, you got to constantly, you know, be aware in your relationship and check up on it every once in a while. It's okay. Check
right.
Just make sure everything is the way it's. Some people are great. These narcissists are great actors. They can take control of a relationship, you know, and make you feel like no matter what they do, is nothing can be wrong. It's always right. So if you constantly check, and then you got to make a decision for yourself. Don't put up with it, you know. I had a lady once tell me, I said, well, this is the third time I caught your husband cheating. I mean, do you want me to catch him for the fourth time? And she goes, no, I'm going to give him one more chance. That's it. I said, well, let me explain to you like this. Whatever you do with him, without your clothes on, behind closed door, he's doing the exact same thing with somebody else. Are you okay with that?
No, yeah, that's actually something I tell my friends about a lot, because, again, I read about these guys all the time, and it's true. They do that. They just completely manipulate your perception to where nothing they do is wrong.
Yeah.
And there's always an excuse.
Yeah, she's like, well, now I've got that in my mind. Why'd you have to say it like that? And I go, because it's the truth. He's getting his freak on with somebody else just like he does with you. So I'm trying to explain to you, man,
facts.
You gotta have some self-respect. Don't put up with it.
Wise words. Detective Gomez, thanks so much for being on my show. I really appreciate it.
No problem. I have a podcast also if you'd like to check that out sometimes. It's called Beyond Cheaters, the Detective Gomez Files. It's on iTunes and iHeartRadio and Spotify.
Anything new on the radar for the podcast?
I have some stories there from different males and females that recently just posted up, and the ages range from 19 through 54 years old of how people thought they were crazy, and we found that they weren't. And it's just interesting how some of these people share their personal stories and find out how they got cheated on. But I would have to say the funniest episode, I think I've ever been in, like the one I told you before about the Tampa Bay thing, you know, having to resort to different measures on how to shoot surveillance inside a nudist camp. I think that was probably the most funniest one for me out of my 20 years.
So it's primarily like experiences that you've had, like, and like you bring them on, or
I put some experiences I've had, but I also talk about other people's experiences too.
Awesome. Well, I'll be sure to check that out.
Yeah, and then I interview also the host from Cheaters, Tommy Habib, Joey Greco, and we talk about Cheaters and how we worked on all the Cheaters together and those times. I interview Morgan, our director, Tim Wilkins, some of the other Julie Gray, who also helped in our Cheaters family that worked at our studio, and talk about their different job aspects and what they did for the TV show and how we produced the TV show. Because people, sadly to say, think that if they decide to be on Cheaters, they think we can solve the case in an hour. And I'd have to explain to them that usually those cases take about 3 months to put together, produce, edit, and then put on TV later on. So little things like that that people don't know about. Now, how hard it is.
So it's Beyond Cheaters and also Behind the Scenes from Cheaters then?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the name is like Beyond Cheaters, the Detective Gomez Files.
Cool. And so you are also available on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and iTunes, right?
Yes, sir.
Sweet.
You also check out my website, detectivegomez.com, if you get a chance.
That also has your How to Spot a Cheater, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
DetectiveGomez.com.
.com.
Cool. Thanks for being on the show, Detective Gomez.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. 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 You too.
Monica, babe, babe, God damn it. Who the fuck let fucking cigarettes in here? Monica, babe. Dominic Pernilius, dude, where the fuck are you? Best days of my life, dude.
Hey man, you eating the sauce?
I'm pretty hungover, actually. This one shit came through a few days ago and got everyone fucking blasted. She brought the shit from Switzerland or Sweden or something. We've all been tripping for days.
Y'all talking about Misty?
Yeah.
Misty. Hey, she asked about me.
Wait, you know Misty?
Oh, hell yeah. I've been knowing Misty for a while now, feel me? Just don't let Simeon know that I do, though.
Did someone say my name?
Get out! Out!
Alright, never mind. Don't be.
Hey, son. You almost ready for that first mission?
Locked and loaded, bud.
Hey, I'ma head out. But I'ma link up with you soon.
And, yeah, thanks for offering me this opportunity. Would have never known it was gonna be like this.
Hey, don't mention it. It's nothing. Hey, I wanna see what all you've been doing out there in London. You happy?
Yeah.
Be real with me, son. You happy?
Yeah, I'd say so.
You good?
Yeah, I had some stuff. It's not so easy to understand, Donnie. I'm good, though. I'm good.
Hey, just don't be doing anything stupid. I'll be on a flight soon. Chill.
Ah, look who it is. Big Hitman in all black. How the fuck come you don't at least smile when you walk in anymore, Dominic?
Yo, I gotta stay focused, son. Especially walking around a dump like this. Don't know what the fuck I'll catch even breathing in this motherfucker.
That mouth alone is gonna get you hurt if you don't keep it shut. Get in here. What do you want? Slice of cheese? Try the Beretta. It's fresh.
Word, let me get two.
So, too busy to stop in for lunch, huh? Business grabbing you by the balls?
Shit, I got a lot on my motherfucking mind. I got this one cat out in London.
Who, a girl? Oh, is that why you haven't been in?
Nah, man, he's just a friend. But he gonna be working for me now. I just hope he's ready for what's gonna happen next. Feel me?
Yeah, I feel you. But for now, take it easy. Take a load off, Donnie. You don't look so good. Say, what happened to that girl you used to bring around? What was her name? Yeah, Misty.
What's wrong, Paul?
Nothing.
nothing.
Demonica told me about a phone call that seemed to get to you. Who was it?
It was someone from back home. That's it. Someone I didn't expect.
Paul, speak.
I mean, I woke up here. I didn't have time to, you know, say goodbye, or I didn't know what to do, man. I had a whole fucking life back there, Simeon. Like, you have to remember that. I just got caught up in being away from LA and having fun and the whole Misty thing and away from myself that I just can't believe I forgot about everything. And then being here, I mean, to Monica is incredible. But it's almost like my spirit was absorbing her the second that she appeared. It's like this bond that I can't see myself undoing now. I can't shake it. It's all moved so fast. Back home, I still had a few demons to face, and it had everyone worried. I just haven't been able to get out of my head this whole time. I'm worried that it's gonna fuck all this up.
Okay, relax, Paul. Relax.
No, no. You opened a whole fucking can of worms, Simeon. If this is where you want to go, you're going to help me fix this. You don't know how hard I've tried to keep myself together. For her, and now Monty.
Malgré les menaces du maire, sous les huées des enfants prodiges, avec des cris de toutes les douleurs, et malgré les menaces du maire, sous les huées des enfants prodiges, avec des cris de toutes les douleurs. Ce qu'il aime, il dit non aux professeurs.